Hey, welcome to Intentional Living Center today. Parenting, you know, you hear raising responsible adults if you listen to the program much. That's a great goal. Sometimes it turns out the way you like, sometimes not. It can be a challenge. But I do know this, you're more likely to get the kind of result when you live an intentional life. That's what we're here to help you unpack today. You're going to discover the meaning of raising a responsible adult, how the process we call the freedom process works. If you're not all that thrilled with the direction things are going, or maybe you have a success story you want to share, we always love to hear from you on our comment line, our story line at 888-888-1717. Thank you for your calls. Stephen always taking calls. Sally's helping out. Rob, our senior producer, making sure everything works well behind the screen there. Actually, behind a window. But thank you for being a part of the program. Here into November now, Thanksgiving month, busy month. It's a month with preparation countdown for the year. God has been so faithful. And maybe you're struggling today as a parent. Maybe you're struggling as a grandparent. I hope by the end of this half hour, you feel more hope. I mean, you feel more hopeful. Not because I just said something that made you feel hopeful, but we gave you some strategies that help you actually be more hopeful. All right? More empowered as a parent or grandparent. Success stories always help too, and I think Catherine wants to lead off with one from Michigan. Catherine, go right ahead.
My husband and I are choosing to be intentional parents. We are not teaching our daughter that happiness is paramount. We actually are teaching her to be a decision maker and to be a faith-based decision maker based on principle, and we're really focusing on right and wrong as opposed to do what makes you happy. So we are teaching her that happiness will be there. It's not something you will have to pursue if you're a faith-based decision maker. So thank you, Dr. Randy, for reminding us all to be intentional and sharing the benefits of other people's intentional living with us.
Well, you're welcome. Appreciate it, Catherine. I was thinking, as you were talking about teaching your child to be a good decision maker, you know, that's not in a curriculum at school. When you think about it, you go to school, we teach reading and writing, arithmetic and cultural studies and all sorts of things. But boy, in our homes, we should be teaching our children how to make decisions, a decision-making process. In fact, I have one of our intentionals, Finding God's Will, 10 questions to ask to think about, is this really in the center of God's will before you make that decision? You might want to get that downloaded, and I know I designed it for adults, but it might be something you could adapt and teach with your kids. Hey, how to make some decisions. Things like, is it scripturally sound what you're about to do? I mean, you're taking a little kid. Yeah, you're starting to teach them to think about, is God going to be pleased with the decision you're making? How does it impact others? It's available on our website. You're always welcome to it at theintentionallife.com. All right, let's go to Rachel. Rachel, welcome to the program.
Thank you.
Appreciate your call. What's your comment or question?
We have we have 8 kids, and one of our children, my stepdaughter, has left our house because of our values, and she has declared herself pansexual. And I have verbally stood and said that I will not say that it's morally okay, but that we love her, and we love her, you know, despite her poor choices.
Mm-hmm. So pansexual meaning anything goes, basically.
Anything. She likes boys, girls, and transgender. And she is not sexually active. Mm-hmm. So this is... it's very popular right now. And so she told my husband quietly. My daughter told me because he did not tell me. He just said, well, I'll miss you very much.
Mm.
And he is less vocal about his beliefs. So Bryn was testing the surface testing the waters to see where he stood, I think. But did we do the right thing? That's the question.
You know, Rachel, this, you know, 20 years ago when we were doing a program that we called Parent Talk, and we would occasionally maybe get a question like this. And today, in the culture in which we live, is just very prevalent. And as a Christian family, the clarity on how to deal with these things, I guess it was clear in people's minds 20 years ago than it is today because of the culture in which we live. As I see, your question was it okay to disagree with your daughter's choice? Well, certainly. I mean, you have your values and you need to share them. Here's my take on this. We live in a culture today where there's a great deal, the word diversity. A lot of people see things different. They have different choices. They're making different choices. And one of the reasons we are so passionate about intentional living, and as I share with the staff and as I share with our team and as I share with our supporters, is we're about not about negativity. Our mission is not about no, no, no. Our mission is about what does God's word teach? And then how do we live our lives intentionally? And one of the times we're going to be crosswise with people that we love the most, because we know the scripture says one thing and our children or our grandchildren or friends or neighbors say, well, this is what I believe. And we can argue and we can debate, but there has to be the confidence of saying, this is what I believe, this is what the Bible teaches, and this is why I believe it. But we are commanded to do all things with love. And one of the mistakes I think we can make, and I think, frankly, I think as a Christian community at times we have made, is we allow the convictions of our heart and what the Bible teaches to give us permission to be ornery and mean toward other people. And I don't believe that that's God's intention. We don't see that in Scripture. When Jesus was teaching, he would do so with his great illustrations and stories and speak the truth. But he didn't chase people down to tell them how wrong they were. He just said, this is the truth. And so to be very direct to you, Rachel, I think you and your husband are in a difficult situation you never intended to be in. You need to come to terms with what you believe and why you believe it. But here's what I believe. You want to leave that door open for your daughter to have a relationship with your daughter. Because you'll have no influence if you don't. That doesn't mean you have to accept a lifestyle in your home that you don't agree with. Doesn't mean you have to support it or promote it. But what it does mean to me, that you have an opportunity to have a relationship with your daughter, to love your daughter, care for her, and she's going to make choices.
Yes, and we have let her know, you know, she is deeply loved.
Good.
But again, you know, and we're not foreign to hard times with kids.
No, with eight, I wouldn't imagine.
Yeah, my oldest gave us a run through, and praise God, because he's a youth pastor today.
Yeah, well, see, there you go. I mean, you know that the story's not over yet. And we got, listen, we could do a whole week's worth of talking about this, and we could open up the phone lines, and parents would call and talk about, hey, here's my son or daughter, and they have a lifestyle or they have choices different than what we believe, and here's how we've handled it. And every kid is different. Every situation is different. But I think there's some biblical principles. One is we got to speak the truth in love. I don't think we ever violate our home values to allow things in our home that we don't approve of. But at the same time, there's something that we can do to love other people when it starts right in our home, to love them even when we disagree with them. And what that daughter needs now more than ever is to know you love her, even though you don't understand why she's made the choices she made. And like you said, maybe she's testing you, but you love her. You love her. And we've all had family members that go in directions we don't understand. But the key is to love them. That's not weakness. All right. Thank you, Rachel. God bless you. We're talking parenting today, and it's tough. Sometimes it's way beyond potty training. That used to be the question 25 years ago. We get potty training questions, which I know is still, if you're potty training your kid, that's a problem. But the issues today you're facing as parents and grandparents, much more, they're bigger consequences. That's why intentional living matters. I believe it. Doing the next right one thing, really praying, knowing that God is in the center of it. The scripture says to us in Hebrews chapter 4 that the word of God reveals the thoughts and the intentions of our heart. And if you really want to know what your intentions are, get into God's word, let God's word drive those intentions, and be firm in what you believe and why you believe it. Powerful. All right, we got more on this coming up here in a moment. Don't go away.
Hey, did you know you're part of the family? Yeah, you. That's why you're listening right now. And here's a way you can really feel the familyness. Join Intentional Living on Facebook at facebook.com/intentionalliving. Just click like and instantly you'll have more than 100,000 other family members, including Dr. Randy, ready to encourage you in your intentional life. You never know. God might use you to encourage someone else. So come on in. That's Intentional Living on Facebook at facebook.com/intentionalliving.
It's a statement, simple yet meaningful. It's a powerful reminder that you have purpose and direction. While the millions of other fish are heading into the net, you're living free and living intentionally. It's your stake in the ground. You refuse to live the lie and will now celebrate the truth. It's two simple words that declare you're pursuing the one thing today that will change your world tomorrow. It's the Intentional Living Wristband, and it simply says one thing. To purchase, go to theintentionallife.com.
How can a wristband help you? You know what? I wear one every day. It's good, and I have for many years now. It says one thing on it, and every day I faithfully put it on. Some days I'm more faithful in saying this to myself, Lord, what one thing today can I do that'll bring you glory? And that's why we have distributed these all over the country, thousands of people, for you. And I encourage you to take 30 days, put it on every day, and as you put it on, it'll be a visual reminder. Maybe today is a parenting question. What one thing do I need to be as a parent today? Or what one thing can I do as a grandparent today? And for the next 30 days, it'll make the biggest difference in my family. And if you're like me, I'm a visual kind of guy. It helps me be reminded of bringing me back to the center here of being intentional. Okay, Stephanie, we're talking kids today. Stephanie has a 9-year-old with an attitude, huh? Stephanie, welcome to the program.
Hi.
Hi. Tell us about your 9-year-old son. What's going on?
I don't know. It's just he seems like he wants to develop a character of disrespect and rudeness with me.
Mm-hmm.
And
so he's disrespectful of you.
Yeah, like he wants to. I feel like he wants to disrespect me. Like he hasn't done nothing, but I could really see like if I do not put my foot down or something, it's going to get out of control.
Mm-hmm.
And especially if I go head to head with him.
You have other kids?
Yes, I have 3 more.
Younger or older?
Younger. He's the oldest.
So he's the oldest. Okay. Is dad in the home?
Yes. And with dad is, it seems like my son only wants to listen to dad because, I don't know. I just think I've been a little more stern with him and more like firm and I'm not going to allow him to do or have that much freedom.
So he gravitates to dad, appears to have a better relationship with dad. Does dad discipline? Does dad stand with you and when there needs to be reasonable discipline with your 9-year-old?
So-and-so, when I need to prove a point, he like wants to shut me down in front of him and then the rest of the kids. When he's like, oh, you're explaining yourself too much, or like, okay, that's enough, like, let it go.
Yeah.
And
he thinks you're being too firm or too strong or overpowering with the kids.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I know I'm not because, like, you know, I want to start from now. Like, no, like.
Mm-hmm. Well, listen, Stephanie, here's the deal. You can't be an effective leader in anything if you have the people in leadership not in agreement. It doesn't work in a business, doesn't work in a ministry. If the people who are in leadership don't have agreement, it filters into the whole family, creates a problem. Now, in a family, it's a particular problem. When mom and dad are not on the same page, as we like to say, the kids see that and they use that against the parents. sometimes intentionally they'll put a wedge between them. And sometimes they just sort of get confused or frustrated, and they can revert. They can also pull back. In the case of your oldest, it sounds like he's getting in your face. He's feeling permission to get in your face. And as you said, maybe you're strong, but you don't know how to balance that. One of the things we teach here is how to power down, parent up. Because power will meet power. And you got a strong 9-year-old who's picking up power and will get right back in your face with power. That's the way these kids are. Here's what I'm going to recommend. I'm going to send you Raising Responsible Adults. We get his address. We're going to send to Stephanie. We're going to send you the book and the study guide. But I'm going to encourage you and your husband to talk behind closed doors. Correcting each other in front of the kids is never a good idea. It wouldn't be a good idea in a business. Think about it. If you got the manager saying so-and-so and the co-manager over here saying, no, you don't have to do it, you can do this, it'd be confusing in the workplace with adults, let alone with kids. And so being on the same page, talking behind closed doors, coming to a conclusion and working it through together is the best thing that you can do. So if you hold on, Stephanie, we'll get this book to you, okay?
Yeah, thank you. I appreciate it.
You're very welcome. And again, intentional living comes back to developing the kind of habits and doing them intentionally every day. And parenting really, in many ways, should be a boring activity. You're so confident in what you're doing and what needs to be done, you just do it every day. Now, you're aware of your kids and you're aware of the changing and so on, but if you try this today and then we'll try that tomorrow, that inconsistency creates a problem for parents. It really does. Okay, we'd love to have your comments on this. Maybe you have something you think would be a better way of handling it. 888-1717, press number 2 for our storyline.
Hi, this is Rhonda. I would like to leave a comment about raising children. My husband and I raised 3 children from birth until they were gone. In this manner, if they did something wrong or inappropriate, they were punished. And then they were sent to their room, and they had a few minutes to think about it. I told them to stay in there, and then I would come in and see them. I would go in there and sit with them, and I would ask them, did they understand why they were punished? And if they did, that was fine. If they didn't, then I would explain it to them. And then I would tell them, I love you, but I did not love how you were acting. And when we left the room, we were happy. Everything was resolved, but they understood that there was consequences to their actions.
There you go. Thank you, Rhonda. That's good parenting. Consistency, you know. Love to hear how those kids turned out later in life. We got more on parenting today. We'll be back with it here in just a couple minutes.
You're listening to Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Randy Carlson. Intentional Living is furnished by Parent Talk Incorporated and is made possible by the generous support of listeners just like you. This program is not a substitute for professional counseling, medical, financial, or legal advice. Intentional Living is not intended to be therapy by radio. We are Intentional Living, and we'll be right back.
There's a second danger moment, though, and that's to say no whenever you mean yes. I think that's equally dangerous. It can result in some short-term relief from stress and discomfort, but typically, if you say no when God is really prompting you to say yes, it will result in long-term regret and mediocrity. And the key here is God's will, knowing what God's will is in your life, for your money, for your relationships. This month, the topic for members, watch for the teaching coming to your home, is on the topic, the power of yes and the power of no. They're both very powerful words. Sometimes we say yes when we should be saying no, and we say no when we should be saying yes. So this month, how to be intentional with your yeses and nos. So members, watch for it. It'll be coming your way. And by the way, this month, when you share a gift for the Ministry of Intentional Living, and especially if you come and join us in monthly support, we say thanks in advance. Not only will you receive this CD, the power of yes and no, but every month you'll start receiving a brand new teaching from me to encourage you on your journey as you stand and support each month as a member. Plus, this month, when you share that gift and you ask for it, we'll send you a book for the holidays called Made to Thrive at Christmas. So become a new member of Intentional Living with an ongoing monthly gift today of any amount, or give that generous single gift today, and we'll make sure you receive the Made to Thrive at Christmas book. You're going to help us close out this year strong. By the way, people ask, how much should I give every month? Is there a set amount? No, it's between you and the Lord, but the most popular level is $1 a day, $30 in a month. So again, call during West Coast business hours, 888-888-1717, and press number 4, 888-888-1717. Number 4 takes you right upstairs to our staff, or anytime online at theintentionallife.com. That's theintentionallife.com. Okay. Let me see here. We have Tina. We're talking intentional parenting today. We love the stories. Tina has a success story to share with us from Michigan. Go right ahead, Tina.
My girls are about 6.5 years apart.
Uh-huh.
And when they were 9 and 15, they were just getting on my wits end. So I prayed about it. What can I do, you know? And then I happened to be at the Christian store and saw the book, The Love Dare. Mm. And it caught my eye, and I thought, well, I looked through it, and I thought this might work. And I think it was a God sighting, an answer to the prayer. Because I took it home, and I gave everybody a notebook and a pen. And I know it's for spouses, so what we did is we would take turns reading each dare, and we do one dare a week. Oh. You know, because with kids, your life is busy.
Yeah, absolutely.
And so we would do... So we did it as a family devotion, and we changed the word spouse to family. Every time the word spouse came up, we would just change it to family. And, I mean, because the book's all about love,
right.
And it worked. I mean, they just, like in 3 weeks, everybody, even all of us were actually, it helped all of us.
What you did, you changed the culture. You changed the culture in your family. You changed the expectation from there's a positive response, there's going to be more attention, positive attention for cooperation. That's really what we're talking about, that they're cooperating with each other in a loving way as opposed to picking at each other.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Yep.
How old are they now?
Well, actually, this was a while ago because they actually went to your conference here, the parent one in Jackson, Michigan.
Oh. As parents.
Yep.
Yeah.
My oldest has a 2-year-old. We have a 2-year-old grandson. And the youngest graduated last June, and she's her nanny.
Wow. Yeah. Thank you, Tina. Appreciate that call. We love those stories of people who've been to one of our conferences and have been impacted, and their lives have been encouraged. That's why we do it. You know, as you were thinking about, you were talking about going out and getting a book, and in the Raising Responsible Adults, near the end, the last chapter talks about creating a vision. In other words, as a parent, helping your children see and have a vision for the future in their own life. You know, as Helen Keller said, pity the man who has sight but no vision. And we want our kids, who many times are just so caught up in their, you know, what's right in front of them and all their friends and the social media and all that, they don't think about their lives down the path. And in the book, Raising Responsible Adults, I share 6 elements that are really key to creating a vision for your children. I want to share a couple of those with you here in just a moment, but I'm loving these success stories. I think Denise is on the line in New Mexico with a success report. Go right ahead.
Hi, Dr. Randy. Coming from somebody who's been a mother, and I'm still a mother of a 9 and 11-year-old or 12-year-old, I have found that the way to handle not yelling is to have a plan of how you're going to react when things don't go your way, or when things don't, your children don't respond in the way that you want them to. Have a plan. Be proactive. And what I found myself doing is saying, okay, if my son does this, this is how I'm going to react. And if my son does that, then great. This is what my plan was. But more than likely, at least I'm ready, and I'm ready to respond in the right way. Practice it out, kind of role play with your spouse, and then this way you won't yell. You'll be ready, and you're going to react in a godly way.
That's good. Hey, listen, Denise, I'll tell you what.
No great coach goes into a game without a game plan. Basketball, football, whatever the sport, they don't say, hey, we're all here. Let's go on the field and see how it goes. They have a plan. They know who they're going to play, when they're going to play them, where their strengths and weaknesses are. They'll modify the game plan from time to time. They may have a seventh end stretch or a halftime where they can regroup and change the plan, but they always start with a plan. That's really critical. I love it. All right, Raising Responsible Adults in the last chapter talks about creating a vision. And there were six key elements that maybe you could think about as you think about developing a vision for your kids. Number one, do you agree that you want your child to hunger for God and have a relationship with Him that sustains him through life? If you do, and my guess is you're not listening to me if you don't. If you do, then you're going to have to be intentional to set the environment in your home, teaching your kids, setting a Christian environment. One of the reasons we're so sold on Christian radio is because it becomes sort of the soundtrack of your home. I mean, we did that in our home. Our kids were raised listening to the Christian music and hearing scripture and being encouraged by what they heard on the radio. That we didn't even have to speak sometimes. The radio would do it. And so that's why we believe in setting that tone. Here's a second thought. Do you agree that you want your child to be a loving and contributing member of society? Wow. If you do, then as you set that as a vision, that vision then will help you set some of the tactics, the things that you do to help your children be contributors to the family, helping with their siblings, helping in the neighborhood, seeing that as a family, contributing to society is important. And how about this one? I think you may agree you want your child to make wise choices throughout his lifetime. Going back to what we talked about earlier, helping your children make decisions. When they make a decision and it didn't turn out right at home, talk about what would they do different and why? What did they learn? Those are simple things you can do instead of just correcting them and saying, next time do this. Help them understand and process it for themselves. Wow, less time than I have thoughts. So we got to run. Thank you for joining us today. I want to thank our team. Thank you, Rob, our senior producer, for all your work. Sally, thank you for helping out on the phones today. And Stephen, thank you for taking the calls and screening the calls and being an all-around good guy. Appreciate it. If you have some thoughts on today's program as a parent or grandparent, love to hear them at 888-888-1717. Take that one thing that you can do, remember, one thing today, and do it with your kids. See you next time.